Sci-fi. Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
And I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio produced podcast. If you are like me and get drunk and yell at your friends about UFOs, then you will feel right at home. Thank you very much, Arik Thunderbone, for your five-star review. If you have a five-star review, leave it on iTunes and we will read it on the air.
Do I yell at people about aliens? I kind of do, right?
Yell at people?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, get to the point where, like, you gotta know the truth.
You get heated. I think that's most of our arguments on here. let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our good friend, multi-time guest, Todd Bishop.
Hey, hey.
What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
I'm doing well. Doing good and well.
So you are in town. So you still live somewhere else, right?
Yes, I don't live here. It's complicated.
So you're like a multi-city guy.
Yeah, for the next 5 months.
So you're here for 5 months?
Well, I go back weekends or every other weekend at least. But
wow.
Yeah, I got a six-month job, which is great. It's great. Don't get me wrong.
Hell, if I lived
here, I mean, to get a six-month gig in entertainment, like a season of something, is great.
Yeah, it's a long job. Six months is a long time in L.A.
Yeah, it's fantastic to know what I'll be doing for 6 months. But I also don't live here anymore. We live in Northern California. So
what are you doing? Where are you staying, I mean?
I'm subletting a mutual friend of ours. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
In case she doesn't want to know.
Uh-huh.
People know. I'm subletting a place in... Eagle Rock, for those of you stalkers out there. It's a big place.
I know where it's at.
Yeah, so I'm in Eagle Rock, which is great also in that I know where I'm living for 6 months. So I don't have to like Airbnb and beg people to stay in their place for free.
Right,
or,
yeah.
It sucks. It really is not a way to live when you're a grown-up adult.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was trying to think, if I just like put an air mattress right there, charge you like $500 a month.
Hey, you know what? If I wasn't allergic.
Oh, right. And then she'd be crawling all over you all night.
Yeah, yeah. I've been in that type of situation, yes. Yeah.
So you're working on Crank Yankers.
Yes. The new Crank Yankers.
Yeah, I didn't know it was coming back. That's cool.
Yeah,
wait, so when was the old one, though? Because I feel like a lot of our audience doesn't even know about Crank Yankers.
It was when we were in college. It was like...
It was all the way up until when we came out here, because we were working on that lot. That they...
Yeah.
Were they over on the Lucy Desilu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that used to be a Coppola's studio?
Really?
And if you've ever watched From the Heart, is that what it's called?
I haven't seen that one. My Coppola, I only know the biggies.
Listen, it's fucking great, but it's the movie they spent all this money on. They built a Las Vegas set on that stage.
Oh, yeah.
And he was doing like the first nonlinear editing out of like a Winnebago outside of the lot. It's like, I can just watch the editors and tell them what to do. Uh-huh. I could see it happen. He lost all his money on that movie on that lot. That lot is amazing to me, that it has all these crazy things. I worked on Mad TV there.
Mm-hmm.
We worked on
Stone
Stanley.
Yeah, it's like the shittiest lot. I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like 2002 to 2007 or something, Crank Yankers. I don't know. I was cable deprived.
I would
that
say
era.
That could be right.
No way.
I think it was after we came out here. Or at least, I know that it was because we were on that lot.
Oh, it continued. I'm just saying that, like, yeah. I remember watching it in college with Blue.
Because it was on Comedy Central, I guess, for like 3 years or
so
2 years,
probably,
and then
I'd
MTV.
Say,
for...
I'd say 2000. So close, just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I did a little research before I started the job, but...
So what? Is the gang back together? The Jimmy Kimmel and his cousin, I guess? I have no idea who worked on that
I don't
show.
Think his cousin worked on it. His brother is working on it.
Oh, that's how you got it, right? You worked on Kimmel a bunch.
Well, I earned it. Come on, man. I didn't get it.
No. I'm saying...
No, but yes,
they're familiar with how great of a... How great you are.
That sounds a lot better, yes. I did use my ability to...
Wait, they worked with a lot of people, and they didn't hire any of them.
Yeah, I mean, they could have hired anyone they wanted, and I reached out and said I would love to work on it. And they looked at my resume, and they interviewed me, and then they hired me. But they could have easily not looked at my resume and said, that's great, you want to work on it, but, you know, we don't really care.
How can I get on that crank call list? I want to get crank yanked.
See, now I think it's harder to do because it's known, you know, like I said, I was cable deprived when it first started, and it obviously had people that are big stars now, but were maybe less known to the public to some degree. I don't know. It's hard to say.
It was a lot of those New York comics, wasn't it? It was like all the people from like Last Comic Standing, I feel like, did it.
Yeah, sounds about right. I didn't see every episode, but but yeah, like
I think it's okay. They're not going to fire you for not knowing.
No, that's true. That's true. I'm working on this season. But there are a bunch of people coming back from the past and a bunch of new contemporary people who are very exciting. The old people are also very exciting. There's some I've worked on a couple really funny calls with some of the classic characters. So there will be classic characters that are back and then new characters. And then I think...
I mean, it was very racist.
It was a different time.
Yeah. I can't imagine these classic characters are...
Yeah, I mean, not everybody's coming back, and for very good reasons, I think, culturally, but it's still
Ed?
Really...
Is Special Ed, did he make the cut?
I don't know how much I can reveal, but it's been a very...
Carl Malone? Carl Malone still a public figure?
I mean, technically, but I don't know if he'll be back, but the... The characters that I've worked, I'm editing on the show, and the characters that I've dealt with have all been fun, and the comedy's very situational. I think people will be happy. I don't think people will be offended in a truly offended way,
yeah.
Like in a, wow,
what
that
fuck?
Shouldn't be like that way. They'll be maybe like, oh, that's still risque, or that's still, you know, like...
Oh, wow, Dane Cook used to do the guy. David Alan Greer, Fred Armisen, Kevin Nealon.
If only I could tell you all
Seth
the secrets
MacFarlane.
I know.
Who are the Touchtone terrorists? Will they be back?
I don't know who those people are. Probably. I mean, we don't use Touchtone phones anymore, so I doubt they're still working.
All right. Enough about that.
Yeah. But it's a fun show. I'm happy. Definitely. It's a lot of fun to work on. So.
I bet whoever makes those puppets is psyched.
I would think so. There's like four people... I've seen four people in a room sewing puppets together, but it's like a big endeavor, and it looks great. It's obviously HD now, so it looks nicer, but like the lighting's cool. It's like, it's fun. It's like a fun show.
Do we do Wow Scale now, or do you do the sentence? How do we do this? I forget how we do this. Let's just do the Wow Scale.
We can do a quick Wow, yeah. We've shortened it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember your previous scores?
The first time I did it, it was a scale of 10, and... I'm pretty cynical, so I was probably pretty low, because you're the low end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wade, I'm talking to Wade, is the low end. So I would imagine I'd still be like a one or a two, but I don't know.
Depends. Oh, before we do that, I should say, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Join the top tier. It's called Friends of Charquan. Charquan is a alien friend, and he's running our Patreon, so... patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Let's do the Wow Scale.
Charquan.
Wow Scale. Are you a wed or are you a willy?
Okay. First question, three-parter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I think I'll answer like most people in that I believe in aliens, but I believe in them in the same way that I believe like airplanes fly because of physics and like the universe is so big there should be aliens. I don't think that they... I don't know. I guess I'm split. Like if I really think about it, I guess I do... I don't know that I believe they visited Earth, but I wouldn't... If it turned out they did, I would go, yeah, okay. I wouldn't be like, no, this is a lie. It's somebody's trying to, you know, like, lie to us.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, like, how did the pyramids get built? Where's the engineering? These big societies
so
that died off.
You would be open to it.
I would definitely be open to it. Okay. I don't know that I believe it. Like, oh, that's how I would explain those things. But those things that have no real explanation, even in physics, yeah, if the evidence, like, if we found relics or I don't know if somehow it was proven through some sort of or highly I don't know. I think it's possible. I don't think I believe it, but I also don't think about it that often. And have they been here in 300 years, you said?
Yeah.
Just modern times.
I mean, I guess I'd say I don't believe that, but because we're certainly not building pyramids anymore. We're just destroying everything.
Even the pyramids.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that's where I land on that.
Okay. I guess I should say, if you're a newer listener, the WoW scale stands for Waiter Willy. I'm the cynic. Willy is the believer. It's from 0 to 5. If you're a 0, you're more of a wait. If you're a 5, it's more of a Willy. Sorry to break up the flow there. Ghosts.
We're doing the WoW scale.
Do I believe in them?
Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't. I think I don't want to believe in ghosts because I think that would be scary, and I don't know that I can't see an upside to ghosts. You know, like,
well, what about, like, how many family members do you have who are dead?
I mean, a bunch.
Wouldn't you like to know that they're, like, roaming around the earth as ghosts?
I guess I would rather know that they're at some sort of peace. If that peace is ghost peace and they're, like, running around having fun, that's cool.
Just watching you in the shower?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, if you believe in that stuff, then, you know, like, when people die, are they watching over you? Like, where do they go? Where does their energy go? I guess as I get older, I would like to believe that something good happens or at least doesn't hurt because, you know, like, it's inevitable.
Well, what do you think? Do you believe in an afterlife?
I'm pretty agnostic. I guess I'd have to answer if I had a gun to my head. If I had a gun to my head, I mean, no, but I'd like to. Like I'll pray on an airplane when we take off. I say one thing. And it sounds super corny to say out loud. Maybe I won't say it, but I that's the only time I pray. And it's just like a the equivalent of like an attaboy, like a come on, we're gonna do it,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
But you know, if I was diagnosed with something right this minute, knock on wood, I'm knocking on wood, not superstitious normally, but wife is superstitious, so I've gotten into the knock on wood. If I was like, if someone said, oh, you're gonna die in like 3 weeks, boy, yeah, I'd have some trouble with that.
Well, what if the afterlife was you become a ghost and then you're just like here on Earth?
I guess that would be fine, but
would you be stoked or would you be like, what the fuck? Did you watch that movie Ghost with
Patrick Swayze?
No.
No. The other movie
It's called like Ghost Story. It's with he's in a sheet the whole time. The other Affleck, Casey Affleck.
He's in a sheet?
Yeah.
No. Is it a comedy?
No.
Oh. Is it like Gotti?
It's a very slow movie where he dies, and then he's just like stuck on Earth, and he's just watching his wife cry.
That sounds horrible. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing with like the afterlife for ghosts is time is theoretically, I mean, it is infinite. We'll stop, but maybe we don't stop. But then like, what do you do for eternity? Do you still learn things? Do you get reincarnated? Like, and if you get reincarnated, you're not you. Like, I'm not a person who's going to go, oh, you're reincarnated. You don't remember it. So how does that count?
Well, you know, because like, your psyche builds up. You get better at navigating the earthly waters.
But I don't know that helps present me in any way. So like, I guess that's good. Or if I could put it into a context of like, okay, because I'm at this point of my levels of reincarnation, I don't know. It seems like there's not that much to learn from it. Maybe I'm just ignorant.
What if it's defending your life rules where you have to go and like watch your life and like all these moments where you fucking blew it and you have to defend those moments?
It would be a big bummer. It would be a big bummer. I'm really self-centered.
For everybody, right?
Oh, yeah. But some people, I think, mature much earlier. Like, I'm still, sadly, pretty much a work in progress. I'm getting better every day. But I still think like a teenager far too often, I think. So I don't know.
You know, the funny thing about ghosts to me is, like, you mentioned, like, yeah, I can't imagine learning after you die.
Right.
But I believe in an afterlife, so like I just think we can't comprehend it, and it's weird to contemplate that stuff because I'm like, well, why can't I connect to that now? Are there things that I could learn now, like a monk in the woods? If this life is learning stuff that you're supposed to learn after you die, we don't know.
Right,
but like when it comes to a ghost, like you mentioned in the very beginning, like that's why I am afraid of the world, because I do believe in them. I don't believe that your aunt is dropping plates out of your dishes.
Sure.
But that we exist after that, and I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. I never took physics in high school because it was an elective for some reason, which seems weird, but that you could opt out of physics. But it had a substitute teacher who had no control over the class. So within the first 2 weeks, I'm like, this is just going to suck. I'm not going to learn anything. So I'm going to take a different class. Point being, I don't really understand all the inner workings of the universe, but
I don't know that they teach you that in high school.
Well, they're not going to teach you about ghosts in high school physics.
I don't think you learn much in high school physics.
But I feel like there are...
Yeah,
they don't teach that anymore?
No, they teach physics.
I know they don't teach ghosts.
You scratch the surface of physics.
Sure, sure. But I feel like there are things in the universe, things on the planet, things in life you don't understand that can't be easily explained. So I guess there's room for these things.
Speaking of things that can't be explained, you believe in Bigfoot?
No. I feel like the United States, the geography of the United States is too boring and similar, even in like the woods, like... I don't believe in like South American Bigfoot either, but I mean, I guess. I feel like anything that large that people have been looking for that is sentient and can hide or can come out, and I feel like someone would have seen something that clearly wasn't a bear by now in some way with all the phones we have and all the people who are like, yeah, Bigfoot, let me go check out
those
Bigfoot.
Those videos are out there.
Are they?
Bigfoot's the weird one. It's the only one where I'm like, because I believe in aliens, but I'm like, Bigfoot's the only one that I'm just going to go, ha!
When you see him?
When it's proven.
I guess the thing with Bigfoot...
Too gullible, man. Bigfoot doesn't exist.
No. I don't believe in 99% of the Bigfoot sightings, but like, I think half of them could be bears or whatever, or lies. Could be lies. Your mind.
What about psychics?
I told a psychic story, I think the last time I was on here, maybe the first time. I don't believe in them. I think they're like magicians. They're good at manipulating people, good at reading people. I think there's something to being open to possibilities. I do think, even though I don't activate it enough, I do believe in like the power of positive thinking, or like if you want something, you're not going to get it just because you want it. But if you want it enough to start putting the things in place that might facilitate you getting it, like, oh, I want to be thinner. Okay, well, I'm going to watch what I eat. Like, that's a pretty literal, like, A plus, you know, A to B mm-hmm. way. But I do think, like, as someone who's generally historically a pretty negative thinking person, like,
right.
When I do rise above that, things are better. You know, life gives me more opportunities. I don't know that that's psychic, but I don't think...
It's in there, but it's not really, you know... I mean, we're talking about people who can, like, read minds or tell the future.
Yeah. I guess I would like to believe in that, too, but people that are supposed psychics, I think they use it in boring ways. They just go on talk shows and talk to dead relatives, like... Wouldn't there be cooler stuff you could do if you were actually psychic? Like, if you're reading someone's mind, wouldn't the government have, like, the, you know, secret, of course, division of psychics in the Oval Office, and the guy would, like, go to every meeting and sit there and pretend to be, like, a press photographer or something and go, like, hey, they want this out of you. You know, like, they'd use it in a more interesting way, like, that, you know, like, to have... If psychic ability existed, clearly existed... It would have such more interesting applications than the way it's used now, which is just like, hey, here's your love line, here's your death line or whatever.
Oh, don't go outside tomorrow.
Yeah. Like,
what about my job?
Yeah, like
instead of like, hey, there's a plant on Mars
that can talk.
I can see it
through its spirit. Yeah,
I know that's
no psychic does that.
No,
you go to a corner psychic. There's a plant on Mars.
Well, I just mean connecting to life in the universe as connecting to other life.
Well, there's probably a range.
When I worked at Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel Live, we did a thing with Jimmy's cousin Sal with psychics for, I think, a Super Bowl. It was either the playoffs or the Super Bowl. I can't remember it. It would make this a much better story if I could remember it. But basically, we just went around to some Hollywood psychics, got them on camera making predictions. And I think we had them make predictions of things that had already happened, and they were obviously just wrong. Because they, A, didn't know that the thing had happened, and B, didn't know the outcome. Because it's like, you could reasonably argue, consider the source, it's a Hollywood Boulevard psychic,
yeah,
not like John Edwards or something.
Not the ones the cops are calling?
Yeah, not the ones the cops are calling, but still, I don't know.
I've been watching this show, Shut Eye. It's like a Hulu original. It's about a psychic.
Hmm. Is that the one with the cool couple?
That's every show, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a couple.
Go on.
It had me for the first season, and then it got really boring in the second season, but... He gets like hit in the head or something, and he starts having real psychic abilities.
Fuck, dude. Yeah,
you haven't watched it.
I have watched it.
Oh, you have?
I like the guy that's supposed to be ethnic. He's just like a bigger, like typical mob style bot guy that's in charge of all the psychics.
That guy's from Dexter. He was like one of the cops in Dexter.
I couldn't figure out because
he's like Cuban.
He's so big. His acting is so big, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck.
Everybody from Dexter is not a good actor. Like,
oh, and that Dexter dude was in Gamer. Did you see Gamer, the Gerard Butler movie?
Yeah, but which person?
He was the bad guy. He was the Steve Jobs of Gamer. He was the guy who,
Michael,
like,
whatever, C. Hall or something like that? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Gamer was so fun. It was so bad.
Yeah. And he was so bad. And this was during Dexter. It was like, the guy, the Dexter guy, he's so good. And then he was like silly, laughably bad in
that
movie.
Whole show. I hate watched that entire show, Dexter. Yeah. Oh, God. Everybody on it drove me crazy. Yeah, like, all their acting is just like, what the fuck?
Shut Eye to me was a weird TV show. I only watched the first season also, but how do you have a show where all your main characters are assholes? I don't get how that works.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I have no empathy for any of them. I hated all of them. I'd watch them. Like, what the fuck are they doing? Why am I watching this?
Yeah, that's, I think, maybe why I stopped watching it, because it's just like a bunch of crime people trying to do crime, and I'm just like, I don't care about this at all. Yeah,
you're not good at it, and I hate you.
Yeah, it seems like, how interesting can that be these days? Like, oh, they're criminals, and they commit crimes.
Like, they're still doing the Sopranos model, and it's like, we've moved on, it's been 20 years, like, come up with something new.
Yeah, do something different.
Superstitions. You knocked on wood.
I did knock on
during
wood.
During this segment.
I did, but that was, you know, when talking about death or disease, I'll knock on wood. But really, it's just because my wife is a knocker on wood.
Uh-huh.
She makes you?
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't, like, forcibly make me, but, like, I've picked that up from her. And I catch myself when I do
it. Going by, it's just quiet.
She's just waiting. Just staring me down, puts the TV on pause. Are you going to knock or not? Yeah, I don't... When I do it, I catch myself... Knocking on wood for me is like making air quotes. It's like sometimes I'll start doing it and then I'll feel embarrassed and then I'll be halfway through it and like, well, I'm the guy that's doing this, you know? Like, I don't think it does anything, but if I'm going to talk about getting diagnosed with a disease, I may knock on wood.
Speaking of that,
but I'm not like a salt guy or
Do you guys know people that throw salt over your shoulder for you?
No.
I get so fucking annoyed because I spill salt every day.
Yeah.
And there's somebody that I work with that if she sees it, she'll throw the salt over my shoulder for me. She's like, you know, no, you have to do this.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's weird.
Don't put this on me.
That's like making you pray to their God or something. I don't know. That's weird. You broke a lot of mirrors because you work on sets.
Yeah.
I broke a lot of mirrors in my old days because I used to work lighting on commercials and you'd have to break a mirror. You'd tape it over and then you'd smash it to get like the light to reflect in interesting ways. But I was never like, oh, I don't want to do this, man.
Can Billy do this instead? Billy can do it. He doesn't believe in life.
Yeah, I don't, or like walking under ladders, like, I don't think you shouldn't walk under a ladder because it's dangerous.
Well,
you
know, I think that's the impetus of the superstition. It's like, yeah, people are working up there that can drop shit on you.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think it's like magic. I think it's like, just don't do that.
You well, know? Yeah, that
there'll
makes
be
sense.
Weird ones, right. Like, don't put a hamster in your butt.
I haven't heard that one. Yeah.
I'm going to say you're like a one or a two.
Yeah, that sounds about right. One and a half, two. I feel comfortable in that zone.
All right, Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. The worst nuclear meltdown in the history of the United States was covered up and has left an area of Los Angeles riddled with cancer. Your very own Wade and Willie work less than 7 miles away from this site. Will they get the cancer?
Shit. I hope not.
I mean, that was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was there for, I think, less than 6 months.
I was there for like a year and a half.
Is yeah.
Right? What was up there?
But a nuclear half-life is, you know, 600 years, depending on the... But it all depends on the element, but...
We worked for Penthouse.
You worked for Hustler.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hustler. I've already forgotten.
You were, Hustler was up there? It wasn't like the Hollywood...
No,
it was a warehouse.
Where
it was before they built the Hollywood...
Okay.
But it was like, it was distribution. It wasn't like retail.
Okay.
My first day in LA, I got a job at a temp service, and it was boxing up porn and Hustler.
Wow.
And I was 2.5 hours late my first day, maybe 3 hours late.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know rush hour traffic.
Whoa,
oh, yeah,
really?
I did that once.
No.
I was driving, and we had the big Thomas guide. I printed out a map from MapQuest.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I'm like, holy fuck, this traffic. I'm just sitting here.
Yes.
I had to get off on Nordhoff, you know, but over off Topanga Canyon, basically, or DeSoto. And I'm on the 405 going, holy fuck, I'm already late. Well, there's Nordhoff. I'll take that. So I took that all the way across the valley.
Oh, no.
I was going to be late anyways. I was already late.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. I've never been late in my life. And all of a sudden, I'm 3 hours late.
Did they yell at you?
I was calling them. I'm like, I think I'm close.
Yeah. I have a similar story. My first month here, I was doing sound. I think that's the only reason I didn't get fired. Because I was doing sound on this reality show pilot something or other for this company, and I had worked for them for like a week and a half. But because of where I lived and where the equipment was, they're like, hey, can you drive the van? I'm like, yeah, sure, I can drive the van. I'd driven vans doing commercial shit in Wisconsin. So I said, I'll drive the van, and the shoot was on this Third Street Promenade on like a Saturday or a Friday.
Yeah.
And, so I had the van, and I lived in Burbank at the time with all the stuff in it.
Oh,
and
God.
Then I had to drive.
You didn't pick it up that morning. You just had it.
I had it from the night before.
Right.
I picked it up the night before.
If you don't know, the Third Street Promenade's in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Basically, Burbank is almost as far as you can get from Santa Monica.
We don't go to Santa Monica anymore. None of us do, right?
No, it's like a good hour and a half.
No, it's torture.
Away.
It's like 3 miles away, and it takes 2 hours to get to.
Yeah, it's not, there's no reason to go there. So I was super, super late. And this was like back in Thomas Guide times.
Sure.
So I had mapped it like probably online MapQuest or something and was just sitting there on the 10, just going 0 miles per hour.
Yeah, back
getting
then,
phone
these
calls.
These map things didn't have traffic. So it's like, oh, yeah, it's 5 miles. It's going to take you 25 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had no idea. I'd never driven to Santa Monica before. And the production coordinator was screaming at me. But I think the only reason I didn't get fired was I wasn't a PA. I was the sound guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually needed me for the day. But I was
so you had
late.
All the shit.
Yeah,
how
I had all the
fire
shit.
You?
Yeah, and I had, you know, I had to take it back. So,
all right, let's talk about what's real life about this.
Real life.
Okay, there's a lot to this. Liquid propellant rocket engines. They were developing liquid propellant rocket engines for the United States space program. This is in 1949, all the way up until 2006. My cat is fucking with me. Then they did nuclear reactors from 1953 to 1980. Get up, kid. sorry. Ollie, you son of a bitch. The U.S. government-sponsored Liquid Metals Research Center from 1966 to 1998. If you want to know kind of where this is, it's about 30 miles from downtown Los Angeles. We're just north of downtown Los Angeles by a couple miles. But the big news is that they have had, like, there's 10 low power nuclear reactors on this site. And like several times there's been like spills and like fucked up shit. There's also a sodium burn pit, which I guess is like when something gets sodium fucked up.
I'll explain that.
It's like an open air burn.
It's a big explanation.
Explain it now, because this is real life.
So, and there's a guy on record that was doing this, saying how this worked. This sodium burn pit, this was the very first commercial nuclear plant in America.
Mm-hmm.
They cooled their rods. Instead of water, they used sodium, liquid metal. The sodium would cool it down, whatever. And the way that they would get rid of this stuff, this was long before the EPA, this is like, what, 57, 59, whatever. They would put this radioactive sodium liquid metal into barrels, 55-gallon barrels, rowboat it out to the middle of this lake, and then they'd come back, hide behind this wall, and they'd shoot it with a gun. And when the water seeped into the barrel, it would explode, and all of it would be gone.
Just from the chemical reaction of the water hitting it?
Uh-huh. Whoa. So that's how they got rid of their nuclear sodium. That's a sodium burn pit. The water reacts with the sodium and eliminates all the evidence, all the stuff. And there's no problems.
Sounds pretty easy.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah, that's insane.
But they don't claim that there's been no problems. This guy who ran the sodium burn pits, James Palmer, or he just worked on them, he would go home at night and kiss his wife, and her lips would burn just from like the chemicals he'd breathe in.
Yeah.
So it's like, this place, multiple like fucking
bad news bears of nuclear
energy. Yeah, it sounds
energy.
Like, hey, we'll just figure it out. Oh, that's cool. Oh, somebody's lips are burning. Let's not do that one this any.
And that's not week. Even, that's like not even the like the nuclear spills that they had. Like, so basically, since its inception, there's been like fucked up shit going on there.
Yeah.
And
this is all known. This is all real stuff.
Yeah, these are facts.
If you believe Wikipedia. Which is like the easiest way to go to shit.
Yeah, I guess we could do a Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, but also, you know, the Department of Energy and all these companies have like done tests on what the cleanup situation is and stuff like that, because Boeing and NASA, they've both owned it at different times. Whoever owns a place that have changed, and whoever's responsible, that has changed, and so it's just been a cleanup even of who's responsible.
Hmm.
So, like, this is like 1957. They had a fire that got out of control and massive contamination resulted, and this is of radioactive material.
This is between Canoga Park and Moore Park, between the 118 and the 101.
Damn.
But kind of off Topanga Canyon,
mm-hmm.
where they shot the Bedrock, the Flintstones movie.
In 1959, they had a partial meltdown that released, however you want to measure, it says 28 curies of radioactive noble gases.
I don't know how much a curie is, but I think any release of radioactive material is probably bad.
Well, here's the thing. I mean,
a radioactive fire occurred in 1971. Contaminated mixed fusion products. Yeah, and then that's on top of the sodium burn pits that we just talked about, which have like numerous fucked up things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I mean that's what's real. Like, this place is a fucking nightmare.
And
like 2018, the Wolseley fire like went through there.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about with this, but like basically in 1979, a UCLA professor, Dan Hirsch, and his students uncovered classified government films and documents detailing a nuclear meltdown. They found this on accident, and this is how it got into the news. In the 50s, it wasn't a meltdown. In the 60s, it wasn't a meltdown. All the accidents that happened were kept internally. Mm-hmm. They didn't have EPA. They didn't have all these companies to like test if you were holding the nuclear stuff properly.
Right.
So this fucking professor and his students stumbled upon classified government films.
What was the class?
That's how they got in trouble. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
I
know.
So this is going to be one of those episodes where, you know, most of the stuff, you can look it all up. It's all real. And
yeah.
And so it's just weird because...
Well, so wait, what is the sci-fi of it then?
Well, the real sci-fi is... I mean, what I consider the sci-fi, I think this is all real too. That like all of these companies that have owned it, all these companies that should have watchdogged it, that should be looking at it, should be saying that this isn't safe, they've all kind of turned their head and brushed everything that like everything that is unsafe about this, they're deeming safe so that they don't have to claim responsibility.
Sure. Yeah. I saw that news, the clip you sent me. There's like a news report from the 70s of some ABC, local ABC channel or NBC channel, but they're like, oh, it was like reporting on those students. So it was like a legitimate news source of the time. But the legitimate news source, very similar to our legitimate news sources today, the anchor was like, oh, 20 years ago in Simi Valley, a nuclear meltdown took place. No radioactive material was released or something. He basically like mid-sentence qualifies, everything was fine, but we never heard about it. It's like, yeah. Well, was everything fine?
And also, how isn't do a meltdown, you know? I mean, we've it's all been fine. Watching Chernobyl, right? Like,
yeah.
You have a meltdown, radioactive material is released. Like, isn't that the definition of a meltdown?
Yeah.
So back then it wasn't as populated as it is now. The sad part is, so ultimately what happened is a nuclear meltdown was happening. This isn't a contained site. When you look at nuclear facilities, it's just like it's all in whatever the dome or whatever. It's all contained in a way that like even if it melts down, there's still a layer of something. This place didn't really, it wasn't in a contained site. So if there was any sort of meltdown, it just went right into the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically had some rods that like fucking nuclear meltdown and they didn't know what was happening. And so they knew a meltdown could happen. So they shut it down. And then they kind of burped it. They released all the radiation into the air. They just released all the radiation. And then they turned it back on and ran it for another 2 weeks. Well, so after meltdown, they continued to run it.
For what reason?
Because they didn't really know. They didn't really know that it melted down.
Yeesh.
Until later. And so they didn't know that all this radiation was coming out. And because it wasn't like... When radiation hits you... You know, if you've seen Star Trek, when Spock goes in,
he's in the needs of the many.
Well, it's like
the needs of the few or the one.
If you get hit with radiation, sure, that you could get instantly burned, but like for the most part, it's just attacking you internally, and you don't. It's just accumulating,
right?
And so, even on a small level, which is still very dangerous, you just don't know that it's happening. You might feel sick. You might you might bleed out of your eyes or something for a little bit.
Right.
I'm laughing, but like, so this is just such a sad story because it just keeps getting pushed aside. They keep claiming, even, did you see Michio Kaku on that? A very young, I always say his name different. Michio Kaku, he's like a physicist.
The Japanese.
Yeah, yeah. He's a very young version of him is on here, also saying like, well, the meltdown happened, but none of it got out. Right. Like, no. We know now that it did.
Yeah.
So it's weird to see people back then, like you said, the news reporter, like, basically, I don't know if he was paid off or if he, you know, he was basically just given the information, like, no. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah.
And that paid off. I didn't mean to bring that up. But like, so these people were convinced by higher powers that it was okay and they just believed it and they didn't question it.
Right. Well, that's kind of the status quo. I mean, we get lied to. This is my anti-government rant, but I'm a cynic and an anti-authority. I don't obey authority.
Yeah, me too.
It's caused trouble in my life.
I mean, that's why this episode is like just going to be us bitching about shit. Because like, I do believe that like we're constantly just being lied to, like on behalf of like the corporations, so that they can make money.
Right.
And listen, I'm a capitalist still, but like I don't trust any of these entities at all.
Yeah, they lie in many categories. They'll lie and lie and lie and lie until too much information comes out that can't be refuted, or you know, the mysterious people who had information, only so many of them can die before like the government has to go in some tiny column in some tiny paper that's released, like, oh yeah, like 30 years ago we accidentally shot like 12 people and we're going to give them $20.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like that shit happens all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're too busy on our phones to like realize it.
What are your guys' takes on how do you both feel about whistleblowers?
Pro.
Yeah, pro.
Snowden is not a terrorist. He is a hero. He's a hero.
I think everybody is. I think, I don't, listen, I don't know who, like in that instance, I don't know who would be anti-Snowden. Are they like super right conservatives who are just listening to...
They don't know the story, yeah.
Well, he weakened our national defense because he let our secrets out. He's gonna now the terrorists are going to know that we only have 20 guns.
That's what I don't understand about the right. Is like they're supposed to be, and it hasn't been this way for fucking 40 years. So, you know, everything's a grain of salt. But like they're supposed to be the small government, you know, on the spectrum. They're supposed to be like smaller government. Like, hey, don't tell me what to do.
Right.
And then when you have a whistleblower that comes out and says like, hey, the government is like doing a lot.
Right.
They should be the ones that are like, oh, well, fuck that. Like,
right.
You shouldn't
right.
be doing all that.
But government. It aligns with their interests, their special interests, their deep pockets, their donors, their whatever.
Well, I think that the people who would categorize themselves as Republicans, they believe the fucking lies so much more.
Oh, absolutely, because like, they have to. Because they can't become Democrats, and there's no legitimate alternative, because they're conservative people are not going to go, oh, I'm a libertarian now, oh, I'm a Green Party now. They're like, no, I have values. This is the group that represents my values. And then you say, your group's a little weird sometimes. No, they're not, because they represent my values.
Right. Like,
yes, but they also represent like a huge spectrum of other values that aren't really aligning
with
yours.
Think that's the thing. Like, because they've set it up as this two-team system, like, you can't go against your team,
right.
You know?
Right.
It's like Liverpool versus Everton. You pick a side. Like,
yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. We need to talk to the people making the rules. Like, forget the teams.
Yeah, forget the fucking team. I think that's what's so stupid about our society right now in America is like, oh, you're buying into propaganda from either one side or the other.
Right.
Like, not enough people are just like actually like looking into enough stuff.
Right.
Myself included.
Right.
Because I feel helpless.
Yeah, you feel powerless.
Like, these are two monoliths that you can't take down.
But in the same vein, it is strange to be like, well, I mean, you have to make the choice to give up your career to go pursue fighting these things that we should all be fighting for, because you can't do it all. And so it's weird.
The other option is just arguing with your family.
Yeah, and it's like,
who even gives a shit? Why?
Right, and that's
even
the worst. Because you're not supposed to talk about anything that's real with anybody.
Right.
But the only people you can kind of maybe try to talk to about with is your family.
Yeah.
Who, even if you have a normal family, whatever that means, like, you still have like a structure and a status and a hierarchy and a, like, you don't question dad when he says this. You don't question mom when this happens. It's like,
how many places have you seen, whether it be families or even in movies, whatever, but bars or whatever, like, we do not talk politics or religion.
Right, right.
Rule number one.
Yeah.
Like, you don't talk about anything that anybody actually affects anybody.
Right. Anything because that actually shapes the
world. Nobody's listening.
Right.
Well, I would agree with the bar thing, only because you're drinking, and then people will just fight about it. The whole thing is like, all arguments ever do is just get people mad at each other because no one is ever entertaining the other side at all.
Right.
Like, everyone's so shut down that it's impossible to talk about.
Yes.
So, I mean, I know that that's what this episode is going to be, but I want to get out some of the facts here because...
Do they have any boogeymen there? I already did all the facts, Willie.
Are there any boogeymen in
this site had a hot lab, and what they would do is they would ship all the radioactive material from around the country to this place so they could, like, research it in their hot lab. And they'd basically cut open these rods that were already affected, whatever. It's like, I don't know. That's really dangerous in the world of nuclear stuff,
right?
In the world of radiation, because once you cut that, you're creating dust. And this dust is really went everywhere. And this facility didn't have any containment units of any sort, yet they were shipping nuclear stuff, radiated stuff to them. And they... You know, they had their own rods. It was a nuclear facility. They had all kinds of shit. They had no containment facilities whatsoever. There are the craziest thing about this. I wrote this down somewhere. There are there are thousands of pounds of radioactive sodium coolant from the meltdown that's just missing because they didn't have to account for it.
Right, there's no one to say, hey, keep track of that.
And that's so dangerous. It's weird because there's this whistleblower guy who 50 years later is on record talking about stuff, and it's weird to hear his voice because you hear depression in him where he's like, well, my boss told me not to talk to anybody, and he's like coughing. You can tell he's sick. Like, he told me not to talk to anybody, and he put a fear in me, and here I am now telling you because it's my duty. And like, dude, it's 50 years later.
Right, but that's a generation too.
Yeah, everybody, like, there's so many people that have cancer in this area. This is one of those towns that whole area, a lot of people have cancer. So if you sue them, you'll get your money. You'll win your case if you have cancer and you live in this area.
You get a settlement.
But they're not going to come out and be like, hey, everyone, just so you know, because you can't do a class action suit because too many people have sued them already.
Oh.
And they're not going to come out and tell people that they've injured anybody.
Right.
So this site has gone through so many, there's so much radiation being released into the air, into the water, into the groundwater. They've had a few fires in this area. They've had a few floods, rain happening. So the whole area is really contaminated in such a way that, like, you can't undo this. This is going to take hundreds of years for it not to be a dangerous place.
Well, then it's no problem.
And the city
won't be around in 100 years.
Is pushing right up to it still today. I mean, like, it's crazy. So I know it sounds like I'm just kind of going off and complaining, but so, like, the other thing is, like, the Woolsey fire that happened there recently, like, 90% of the site, the fire went through. So when the fire goes through that area, it kicks up all the dust. That, you know, we had an episode about this fire, and there was crazy stuff because it was so hot that it was, like, abnormally hot. Like, a forest fire doesn't melt cars, yet they found melted cars. I know that there was extra wind, which fuels more fire and stuff, but, like, you know... We could smell the fires from when all those fires were going off. So, like, I'm just saying that, like, there is a chance that there's fucking more radiation going around this whole city.
Sure,
From everything you can think of.
Yeah, and, recently burned.
The site, if you go to Boeing, like, they're kind of brushing their everything aside. If you go to the site, if you go to the Boeing site and look up the Santa Susana Field Research, they're like, we are, making this site safe for people to build houses in the future. And what the fuck? Like, right. Like if you know anything about radiation half-lives,
right, right.
You know, we don't talk about Fukushima anymore.
Right, but that's still like
as if
flooded.
Like, as if like it's fine.
Right.
Yet, I bring all this stuff up with the goal in mind to say that I feel like everybody, like we can talk about corporations, we can talk about people that are supposed to watch these things, but like it's depressing that all of these things that are supposed to take care of us, with nuclear energy being probably the top priority,
right?
They just aren't doing their job.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the problem with. I don't know if it's a problem with capitalism, but it's a problem with everything having a price tag that.
Because Boeing is—they're just hiring, lobbyists to like right. avoid things. They've gotten money to do cleanup, but they're not doing the cleanup.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Chernobyl. People are still not allowed to go in there, right? Like yeah, the radiation is still like, crazy.
Uh-huh.
And that was in the '80s, like 88 yeah. or something like that.
Something like that, 86, 88.
So this site, you called it the biggest, what'd you call it?
The biggest meltdown in the United States. This thing was...
And then Three Mile Island's in the United States, right?
Yeah.
So how does that compare?
This site, not one particular meltdown, but how much nuclear radiation that they've emitted, like released to the public, is... this is on the wiki too, which is buried in there. 458 times more nuclear material has been released than Three Mile Island.
Whoa. And because Three Mile Island was a cataclysmic event or something, that's probably like why it got more.
It was
coverage.
Well, the thing is their initial meltdown was never covered, not until 1979. Three Mile Island, I know this came later. I forget when that was, but it was what, 70s or 80s? I don't know. Whatever.
Late 70s,
whenever that
maybe?
Happened, though, it was a facility, and people died inside of it, and it was a contained facility that, like, okay, get out of here, fucking get out of the way. Whereas this other site, a meltdown happened, and the people working there weren't even really aware of it, and they didn't know what to do. So, like, they hushed it themselves because they made mistakes, and everybody, even higher up, just was like, well, yeah, we don't need to fucking tell anybody.
Sure, sure.
And there,
but who was asking, too?
Yeah, exactly. And there's this weird, you know, I'll post this video if anybody wants to watch it, but it has all this old archival footage. But it's funny, they're interviewing somebody. He's like, how did you guys clean up inside, you know, the waste on the inside? Because it was like coming through the walls, the radiation. The guy says, well, you know, we took Bactine, the
disinfectant?
The disinfectant, yeah, Bactine, regularly put on Band-Aid cuts, or sure. on cuts, and they soaked tampons with it and rubbed it on the walls. Like, that, what? How did you clean up this nuclear fucking shit?
That sounds like my idea.
Yeah, that's like scrappy.
I'd just be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Rub some...
what do we got?
So like you have all these guys. It's funny. It's not funny. It's very sad. Like even this one guy is like, you know, do you think that I could have taken radiation home to my family? I lost my only son and my wife. They both died of cancer and he has cancer. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Your job like killed your family.
But these days, don't you think like... Oh, when am I going to get cancer? Like, isn't it like everyone has cancer?
Well,
just feels like I'm going to get cancer at some point.
I do think so, yeah. but when it comes
and
to...
And I'm just going to die, baby.
You really accelerate stuff with that. I mean, basically, we're getting a lot of harmful things put into our bodies
right.
with higher entities saying it's okay. You picture the water. Picture the water. Water's safe. It's got, you know, chlorine, fluoride in it. It's all safe.
Right, because the parts per million are low.
Yeah, parts per million are low.
But and you're going to drink it your whole
picture,
life.
Picture
so
your
when
cell phones,
it...
you know, like, yeah. oh, you know what? This doesn't affect anything.
Yeah, we used to talk
fine.
About cell phone
it's all
radiation.
Fine. Yeah. And then picture all the stuff that we're eating. It's like, oh, you know what? The pesticides are to kill the flies, but it
doesn't. Yeah, but don't you think we're in the end of days anyway? So you might as well just like lean into it and be like, I'd rather get cancer when I'm 50 than have to fight wastelanders when I'm 80.
See, this is a kind of philosophical argument I have all the time with my wife, where she is she is much more of an intellectual than me, but in a way that, in a positive way, not like a an egghead.
I would love the story if you were just like gonna rip on her, like, I'm smart.
By the way,
she's
not listening. No, but
well, wait,
she,
we should mention she's from Brazil.
She's
right?
from Brazil.
And I can only imagine they have a better education system.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Even though like half of Brazil is
slums. Yeah, I know. Doesn't that sound backwards?
Yes.
But you know that's true. Yeah.
And she went to, when she was there, she went to a public university, which was free and hard to get into, whereas here our public institutions are the shitty ones. In Brazil, it's the private ones that suck. You have to pay. So like if you don't test into the public ones, you have to pay to go to a shittier school.
Oh, but weird.
Yeah, so she's like, she read, like, for fun, she reads about, like, she has a book called The End of Policing, I think it's called. She's got all these books, like, on horrible topics that I'll just stay away from because I need to live in this, like, ideology of optimism or I'll just be too depressed all the time.
Yeah,
but
me
conversely,
too.
Like, I was talking about this at work today. I bought a spork from REI. Because I've been traveling, because I lived in Portland for 9 months.
Is it metal?
But I've been traveling, it's titanium. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I've been traveling a lot in the last year for work, and I still use Amazon Prime. Like, I'm not any kind of good Earth citizen.
Right.
But I got this spork, and I worked on a production, and it's depressing how much garbage just I create in a day. And I'm consciously trying to, like, I use the same paper plate and the same paper bowl.
Yeah.
Per day until it gets too gross, and then I'll throw it out. And I've considered, like, I should just bring in one from home. But I bought this spork, and I've been on this show now for 3 weeks, and so I've not used, like,
three
whatever,
times a day.
Yeah, 25 times. Probably a week or a day. A couple times, three times a day, some kind of snack, go grab a fork, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I have eliminated those from my life, but they're still shooting out of the factories at light speed. They're still being, you know, mined and created. Yeah, yeah. Like there's so much garbage and I'm not doing anything. But I will say I got my spork. It was $6.95. I love using it, and I feel good when I use my spork, and I take it to lunch, and I don't use plastic
I'm
stuff.
Get one.
Well,
thank
we
you.
Should also mention that, like, Hollywood is one of the most hypocritical industries because from this town comes, like, oh, conservation and, like, let's be better, like, environmentalists. But then you go to a set and it's all fucking paper bowls, plastic utensils.
The movie sets are the worst.
Mm-hmm. Like, water bottles
no
everywhere.
Recycling.
We
no
don't
recycling.
Have, most stages don't really have recycling, and they're fucking throwing away fucking dumpsters full of bottles.
Yeah, and I think that's the fault of the stage itself, because I think the productions throw their garbage out at the stage, and the stage is like, well, we don't recycle. Yeah, but it's crazy. It's crazy. And, like, so, like, my wife
like
would say...
Like, another thing, just a broader spectrum. I remember Earth Day happening when I was a kid and going, like, oh, okay, so, like, we're supposed to, like, not throw as much shit away.
Right.
And then bottled water became a thing. And I was like, how is this...
Yeah.
Like, how is this okay? Like,
that's
I
like
don't understand that.
That's learning about trucks, you know? Like, well, you don't need to drive a truck. And then fucking trucks and SUVs blew up. It's like, didn't we just learn that this is bad?
Right, this is the worst thing
Save
you could be
time.
Driving. I need a big car to be safe.
So it's
I need
so
a big
weird.
Car to be safe.
Right.
Like, no.
Yeah, if
just,
I get in an accident, they'll die, not me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
cool.
If cars are safer, if we all drive reasonably, there will still be accidents.
I'll drive a Prius because I welcome death.
But
please run into me.
So, yeah, I got this spork, and does it make a difference? Like, I joked, I brought it to lunch, and the guy next to me, and they're all very liberal-minded people, like, we're anti-Trump, because we're logical people. But, like, you know, they're like, they joke a little bit when I get my spork out to eat, and I'm like, yeah, I know it isn't making a difference, but... I feel better having it.
It is, though, because...
It's making a difference to me, but that's all you can do.
That's how you start, and that's how, like, everyone needs to feel like they can make a difference. That's
right.
all.
And that's the thing, like, where my wife will be, like, she reads all these things, and she's, you know, the government, everybody's lying to us, and all these things that are underlying truths that are true, but she chooses not to really do anything about it, which blows my mind, because I'm like, you're so fiercely anti this or pro that. But she's like, yeah, but you can't step out of line because they'll slap you down. And I'm like, but that's why we have to step out of line. Yeah. You know, like, I'll get this stupid spork and nobody gives a shit. But like, there is less plastic being consumed by me. If 1,000 people got sporks, okay, it starts to make a little bit of difference. Is it going to change anything? If you ask it in that way, no. But like,
but look,
you know,
at what if you look at, because one thing that we also don't learn, which doesn't make the news, because why would it? Why would you? But like, when you look at how other countries are doing this, you know, like, oh, we kind of got rid of straws. Like, well, fucking, like France has gotten rid of all single use plastic. It's outlawed.
Right.
But like, then there are countries making giant steps.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to take giant steps. We would never take a giant step.
Yeah,
you know
we'll
how
do
long
as little
it took
as
for us to get a recycling bin? Like, what, I got to do 2 trash cans now? Right,
and we still do it wrong, but that's a whole other... That's for the after
Well,
show.
Listen, and honestly, like, that recycling shit isn't working anyway. Like, yeah, right. You have a recycling bin, you put it in there, it goes to the sorting facility. Unless they can sell it to another country that's going to recycle it, it just goes in a landfill anyway. Yeah, so, like, right. Yeah, you feel great. You're putting it into the blue bin, but, like, it's not actually a good system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's no profit in it. Because, like, listen, I'm still a capitalist, but there's no profit in recycling.
That's why I'm like, sure, like, I get why it's not happening. That's fine. But please come up with a way to make money off that.
It's like, yeah, I mean... It sucks to be where we are because we're doing these futile gestures of like sorting our trash and buying metal sporks, but like we're not making any difference. And so I don't even know. I mean, and I'm not saying you should just give up, but like you do feel like your hands are tied completely.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I mean, like you use your metal spork and then maybe someone else is like, oh, that's a good idea. I'll do that. You make a very minimal difference.
It's got to be tip of the iceberg. Hope is all we need. You know what I mean? You look at
But the thing is, the problem is not coming from the end users. Yeah, the problem is coming from like the giant corporation.
The exact example I always give is like, dude, if you put a brick in your toilet for taking shits, you save a few gallons here and there, and I commend that. I do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
you put a brick in your toilet?
You put it in the tank. Yeah. It raises the water level. You can do it.
It uses less water every flush. Yeah. But
I did it as a kid.
The big wasters are these fucking corporations.
Right.
And so sure I'm putting a brick in my toilet, but the corporations and I'm not saying we need more regulation. We need conscious-minded people in charge of these companies. That's all.
Yeah, well, when the government, like, oh, they won't tell these people, like, oh, by the way, you've all been irradiated. Sorry,
because we don't. You cannot trust any entity that is meant for the people because eventually they still have to fend for themselves.
Yeah.
Well, listen, regulations don't help because these conglomerates will just do whatever they want and then they'll pay a fine.
Right. Yeah.
The fines
are
way
less. And so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The only thing regulations do is hurt like independent small businesses and stuff like that who can't compete. These things were built so that these companies don't have to compete with.
Right.
That's why Uber is like such a weird. I know that Uber is like a flawed business model and they're not making money, but like fuck taxis.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very sad. These guys in New York are paying like $600,000 for a taxi medallion. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this? And now they can't pay them off because they're not making any money.
Oh, jeez.
It used to be a thing where, like, you could... So you're 50 years old. You're going to buy a taxi medallion for $600,000. You're going to take a loan out.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happens, it's going to be worth more in the future. It's like...
Right.
Don't worry about your debt. You're going to be able to sell it for $700,000 in 10 years. But then Uber came and, like, fucked up the entire market. And so now all these cabbies have, like... almost $1 million in debt.
Jeez.
And no way to pay it off because now this medallion is worthless.
Yeah. Right.
It's because of the regulation.
We're
and it's a very
old
corrupt system.
Regimes.
But also, like, maybe taxicab shouldn't have sucked so much to get to that point where, like, you could just start a ride-sharing service and completely fucking cut them off at the knees. Like,
yeah, if they were really great, people would still use them.
Right.
Well, like,
people above 55.
I mean, it sucks for the drivers, but Jesus, what a horrible fucking
picture right. the businesses in America that we've bailed out. They haven't changed. We're right. going to have to bail them out again. I'm like, no, why? Don't.
Right. Right.
You know what? Let a new plane come in. Fucking, why do we bail out the airline industry? Mm-hmm. I'm so mad about that.
Well, and fucking General Motors, right? Motors. Mm-hmm. Not mortars. They're not making war. But let's take a quick break and then calm down a little bit and come back.
Let's find the secret sci-fi angle in this topic. I want to get talk about aliens. I want to get spooky. I want to get scary. I want to get.
I don't know if it's going to happen. I feel like maybe this episode is all just us screaming.
I think that's. I feel like that's my curse.
Old man yells at Klaus
because I'm so cynical. It just devolves into like.
I mean, I think we're all on the same page when it comes to that stuff.
I'll tell you what, though, if you drive through the wrong area. West of, you know, where we've all been, you could just fucking get enough radiation to die.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
So let's
fix that. Let's fix that when we come back.
Sounds good.
I don't know if we're going to fix it, but we're talking to our friend Todd Bishop. We'll be back after this. You've got questions? We've got t-shirts. It's Real Life Sci-Fi t-shirts.
Hey, I don't know if you know, but you should know if you listen, but we've got t-shirts.
We've got them. You need t-shirts, right? T-shirts, you can wear them to any... Listen, you throw a blazer on a t-shirt, you could wear it to a fancy dinner.
If you had a suit on, you could have a t-shirt on underneath of your favorite thing just to prove to yourself that what you love is still on the inside.
Right. And in even if you just put the blazer over it, people are going to be like, oh, this guy's hip. He doesn't care about wearing a tie.
You know, a popular trend I've seen is for someone to wear a hooded sweatshirt with a t-shirt on underneath.
Very popular trend. That trend's not going anywhere.
That t-shirt
get in on it.
Could be from your favorite podcast or top 8 podcast.
Or, one of the podcasts that you listen to occasionally.
After you listen to
your main podcasts. Real Life Sci-Fi is the podcast we're talking about.
Now when you go to TeePublic and you search Real Life Sci-Fi, you'll find their shirts for, I guess, a year. That's not how it works.
Yeah, they were really hard to find. You had to go to Willie's Twitter, get the direct link, and then you could find them from there.
It was broken. Well,
but
they
now,
fixed it.
TeePublic.com, right?
Yeah.
Just search Real Life Sci-Fi.
T-E-E.
Is there a specific way to search? Do you have to do... Do you have to put it in quotes? Do you have to have the dash between sci-fi?
No, I just put it no dash, no spaces.
Oh, just like a password.
Fuck, I should check if they all work. But that's how I did it. Yeah, just like a password.
Okay, so go to tpublic.com, search for Real Life Sci-Fi, and you'll find our shirts. And they're done by artists who are friends of ours, and we get almost no money.
it's so little that I could make more selling you a shirt than I made it. Well, whatever.
Yeah, maybe we should abandon. Nah, we'd have to print them then.
I know. My thing is it's not about the money. I'd rather run it. I want to run into one of our shirts one day on accident.
That's like a 1 in a million chance. Whoa, there's no way.
That's me, homie. What? Hey, that's me.
Would you? So you would be the approaching one. You would be a fan of the guy for being
listener. Who are you? That's me.
That's me on your shirt. Okay, so tpublic.com, T-E-E, and then public. I'm not going to spell it for you. Figure it out. Search Real Life Sci-Fi. You'll find our shirts. There's some good designs on there. Check them out.
Yeah. And if you want to give us a design, you can make almost no money.
Oh, do we do a sharing agreement with the artists?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. If you want to draw us something, because we've had people submit drawings, and I'm like, we should just put this on a t-shirt.
Yeah, and so the people that have made shirts for us, they make their own money. I don't think we make any money off theirs.
The artists?
Yeah, maybe we do a little bit, but
no money at all.
I know.
Okay, well, maybe not that deal, but if you want a t-shirt with a self-drawn logo on it, we can make that happen.
Yeah. Draw yourself and write Real Life Sci-Fi on it. Now this commercial's 5 minutes long.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're sitting here talking to our friend Todd Bishop.
Hello. Welcome back.
We're talking about, oh God, what is this place called?
Santa Susana.
Santa Susana Field Laboratory in Simi Valley.
NASA, Boeing.
Oh, let me tell you this real quick. Slightly on track. sorry to derail it. We live like three blocks from NASA, Ames,
the JPL whatever, over there, yeah.
The Ames Research Facility. So tell me about that sometime, all the shit I'm probably breathing in. But anyway, back to this.
They're not as, it's not as bad as you.
It is, but it's a functioning airport. So I live like three blocks from an airport, which we didn't really realize when we moved in. We love our place. It's a great place. But it's like, oh, it's like three blocks from an airport, six blocks from the highway.
Well,
we need an air purifier.
You need an air purifier. You need to keep your windows closed at all times. You know, don't be outside too much over there.
Yeah. Or breathe it all in, baby. Die early.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
I'm really looking forward to death because, like, all I'm thinking about now is how much I'm saving for retirement, and it's not enough. Like, I'm looking at, like, financial blogs and going, like, I'm not going
to
make it.
Yeah, I'm not either. See, we need to. I need to get something else because it's not working.
But I think society's going to crumble in the meantime, and so I'm also going, like, maybe I shouldn't be saving of this.
Here's the thing that you need to think of, though, also, is that, as we can see right now, currently, haves versus have-nots is going to grow exponentially.
Right.
When you watch all these sci-fi movies where it's like, hey, stay in the city, you got to have an ID. Like, everyone else is fucking slums. Like, that's where we're at.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, we kind of live in, I don't know what this area would be categorized as. I feel like I could get eaten alive.
But you just have to keep going up, baby.
Yeah, you could get
however
eaten
however that is. Up is the only thing that matters.
What does that mean? I mean, houses around here are $1 million. So, but then there's the renters who don't have that, like me. So, which side am I on? Because I'm white.
Do you ever think about all your... It's not that easy anymore, Wade.
It's not just being white. I swear, being white is going to be very bad. Because if you're white, when society crumbles, they're going to be like, get that fucker.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, but I don't have anything.
Make him carry the car.
It'll be an interesting inversion, because even a well-meaning old white man who won't be like the traditional old white man who's like racist and like terrible.
Right.
When we're old.
They'll still see him as
yes,
that.
Because the legacy that old white men left was fuck everybody else. So when the inversion point happens in like 2042 or whatever it is, that I think that's why all these conservative, like conservative in the modern horrible bastardized, like not really conservative, just right, horrible yeah. people yeah. terms. I think that's why they're all freaking out and like doing all these kind of power grabs is like, yeah, because when people are able to sort of turn the tables and express themselves, they're going to come for blood. They're going to go, oh, you've been fucking all of these people for generations,
yeah.
other countries, other races, everybody. There's going to be a terrible comeuppance and some nice, innocent people are going to get caught up in that.
Yeah.
I mean, I gave all of my money away to the American Humane Society. So I'm hoping like a pack of dogs will come and I'll just like have these dogs. And I can just roll around. I'll be like the dog king.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to fuck with me, they have to get through like 10 dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my plan right now. I don't know how I'm going to tell the dogs that I did all this.
You need to start making the dog videos on YouTube and become some kind of dog hero. That's your plan for the apocalypse. He's like, hey, look at my videos.
I gained celebrity through being nice to dogs.
yeah.
Talk to your landlord now.
It would actually work.
What I might do, though? When it all goes down, I could just go to a pound and be like, dogs, with me.
Mm-hmm.
And like have just treats.
You just have meat pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fucking good plan.
Fucking
I'm going to do
pockets.
That.
Meat pockets. Dude, you know what? When the apocalypse happens, grab the snossages.
Mm-hmm. Wait, no, this is my plan. Don't tell anyone else. No, let's keep the rest of this discussion.
Edit this out.
Talk to your landlord. See if you can pay this off as a condo. Say, like, how do we, like, just let me live here forever. Start barricading it. Make it into your own, like, last man on earth.
That would be cool because I do have two entrances and I'm upstairs.
Yeah.
I feel like this is
that window, man. You got to block that window. You still remember where Ridley is walking by and they're looking in here waving at us?
Yeah, but you can't get here.
Can you see the street from that side?
Yeah.
All right.
But you can't get in here because there's a fucking trench.
I could get in.
There's a trench.
It's like 4 feet, though. It's less than that. I could jump across that.
No, it's more than that.
Is it? Okay, good.
Your cat's playing with like a magic wand box.
I mean, my thing
is that on the recording.
My thing about this whole topic.
He's got the.
Should we take the box away? Okay.
We could go off forever about all of the crimes, basically crimes against humanity that happened at this nuclear site.
Right.
And when you pull back a little further, it's like these are happening at all the sites because people aren't taking the responsibility. Once you accidentally killed somebody, why would you tell anybody? Because it's like, well, my job did it, even though I was in charge of this.
Right, right.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, sure, you might own up to accidentally killing a whole city, but you might not.
Sure, and also, like, for the individual, what...
This lady went door to door, and everyone on her block, there were at least two people in every household that had cancer.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, sure, they're suing, but it's like, you know what? You depressingly failed us, and you created these government videos that were trying to brainwash into people they created all these videos trying to explain how nuclear energy was safe and it was the future.
Right.
And so the video that I showed you was like paralleled that. They had an old video playing. It's like, you know, these atomic cities are safe and this is why. And it's like,
right.
Everything that the first site did was the worst and everyone was afraid and they fucked up. And
right.
They didn't. And here they are. This is how they test, you know, they don't. How do you tell if a place is radioactive? You just check it after the fact. You don't check it before. You
know? Right, like, there's no reason to.
Oh shit, the Geiger counter's up. We got to get out of here. They wear these film badges, and if too much radiation hits you, you're out. Well, radiation in your body works a lot worse because all the stuff that doesn't show up on the film badge is still accumulating in your body.
Hmm.
And so all of these, you know, anybody getting cancer from, sure, there's a million reasons to get cancer, but basically it's a breakdown from accumulating stuff in your body like radiation and heavy metals and you mentioned your story about your...
Yeah, my grandpa was in the army during World War II in the Philippines and then Japan. But within 2 weeks of dropping the bomb on Hiroshima, my grandpa was there with, you know, his battalion or I don't know what they called it, but his group of soldiers. And I have his photos, like he's in front of that church, like the one peace temple or whatever, like the one structure, the dome structure that didn't get destroyed, just melted. Like he's got photos in front of that, and he's got photos with like little kids that survived saying like, oh, the kid was nervous for the photo, but we bribed him with some chocolate to pose with us. And like 2 weeks after, like the army was like, yeah, you can go in there, but like we decimated, well, two cities, but an entire city. There had to be still a crazy amount of radiation.
If you talk to anybody about radiation sites, if you kick up that dust, the dust that's laying around after it's settled, that'll kill you.
Right.
And so it's just crazy to me because we, our nuclear facilities, that like this one in particular that has kicked up dust its entire career, they're blowing up stuff and sending out all this dust all over the city and I don't know. I mean, my biggest thing is that I just feel like, will we ever get to a point where these companies and corporations and government entities that we think are taking care of us, will we ever get to the point where they actually are? Like, do you think that? I mean, it's ideological to think that they already are, but there's so much proof that they aren't. Not because they're fucking assholes or mean. It's just like, that's just... It's not in their interest to do that. Once an entity is created to then lose all its money.
Right. And we're not educated as citizens. We're not educated as individuals to know about even they don't teach like scientific method as a class, you know, like they don't teach, like you learn history in high school, you learn like civics maybe. But like when I went to high school, I went to a Catholic school. And the history classes were taught by the football coaches, which they were mostly interested in their sports more so than their curriculum. And no offense to football players or people that like football, but like the it was like a subject that was clearly at this private school not very important, you know? Like, that was the vibe I got then. It's like, oh, this is just something you have to take.
Yeah.
You know? And so we're not teaching people to be intelligent
about it. So don't ask too many questions.
Right. You just go from the book and you're taught what you're taught. And like, and again, like my wife who's Brazilian didn't get the whitewashed American rah-rah version of world history. She got the world version of world history. And it's like, oh, and then you did this. Oh, and then you like killed this leader to put your guy in power. Oh, and then you did that. And like for the people that still think America number one, great, like you can easily argue, and I would agree to the argument that America could be the greatest country because of our potential for freedoms and liberties, but we don't have any of those things anymore, and we don't go after them, and we are the worst, like, global citizen. We are the worst one. We're the bottom toward the list of all the good things, and we're the people who instigate wars to stimulate economies for us.
Yeah.
You know? It's never like... oh, let's stop this genocide because genocide's bad. It's like, well, can we like sell them anything? Can we build roads over there? Like,
what do they have?
Yeah, yeah.
So and you didn't mention this, but your grandpa, did you mention this?
He had bladder cancer, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, everybody gets all sorts of cancers, but also can't have been a good idea to be on the ground in Hiroshima 2 weeks after a bomb went off. A nuclear bomb. And I don't know. I didn't take physics.
That was how much we knew about that back then.
This is the 40s. So, yeah, they had guys watching him with sunglasses from like 2 miles away on a little island going like, well, yeah, it's crazy.
So here's the thing. I mean, like when it comes down to sort of like rectifying mistakes, not acknowledging like how much of a danger these things were to people. Like, the analog is asbestos and mesothelioma, right? I mean, like...
Oh, yeah.
So, like, so
which
many
I'm
of those
terrified
people,
I'm going to get.
Lead paint.
Yeah, so they, like, died, and then... And now there's all these class action lawsuits where, like, their family members are getting paid out and stuff like that. And we put a stop to it. Like, we're not using asbestos insulation and stuff like that anymore, right?
Sure, yeah.
Lead paint we don't use anymore. Like, so I think there's a point where knowledgeable about it or not, these companies are doing these things. And then once there is like this, like, oh, everyone's dying who worked with this, they go like, oh, fuck, let's not do that anymore. And then, you know.
We didn't know. Why do we have to pay for it?
Well, no, they do pay for it. It like goes to the courts and they pay for it. All I'm saying is, like, nuclear research, I don't know how much that's happening anymore. The Simi Valley one was shut down in, like, 98 when it comes to nuclear research.
Right.
I don't know how many, like, nuclear power plants there are. I don't know, like, how much we're doing with it anymore. I feel like we've sort of said, like, oh, okay, like, we get it. Like, we've done enough research on it or whatever. Like, we know what it can do. We know what the bad things are.
Right.
Speaking of this site specifically, like, yeah, maybe it's still bad and there's still radiation. And, like, maybe in 20 years, if we're still a society, there will be a class action lawsuit and people will get, like, a bunch of money after a bunch of people got cancer and died. And that seems to be the status quo. Like, maybe we knew it was dangerous. Maybe we didn't. We'll pay you a bunch of money and then all will be forgiven, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I mean, it's shitty for sure. But then also there's these oil companies who are spilling oil constantly and then they just get fined by the government.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that money go? It doesn't go to any of the victims.
Yeah.
It goes to like some other bullshit.
It just goes to the adding pile of money that is squandered.
Yeah,
some discretionary fund.
So I would say, I don't know about this site. Like, yeah, maybe it's still dangerous. Maybe we're all going to get cancer because of it. Maybe we'll all get cancer because of whatever is in our shampoo. You know, like, we have no fucking idea.
Right.
Because we've been totally sold out by our government.
When we've trusted companies to...
I don't know that we've trusted anyone. When has trust ever become a part of... I've never trusted the government. I don't trust the EPA. Well, I don't trust any regulatory agency. Like
your mom believes that Dove soap is fine because she trusts the company enough that like they're good.
I don't know if she does. I mean, like, what else are you going to do? You're going to make your own soap? Like,
there was definitely... There's a generational thing where people like our parents' age, that generation, they didn't question authority because there wasn't really reason to, which is crazy because there should always be reason to. Yeah. But, you know, I talk to my mom or whatever, and like if the doctor says, hey, take this pill, she'll take the pill. And you're like, well, what about the other pills you're taking for your other things? Like, don't you want to know how they're related? Don't you want to do your research? Yeah. Don't you want to ask if it's necessary?
Well, I think in that case, you trust the individual. You trust this doctor.
Right.
He is not a conglomeration, you know. Yeah,
but the doctor gets his information from the pill salesman who comes and gives him.
But you don't trust Big Pharma. You trust the guy. You would hope that he would have integrity to like look into it and be like, this is safe for you to take, like with these other things. I mean, that's the whole thing. I don't know that any of us trust anyone. We don't have that much of a choice.
And we also didn't really know to question trust because you grew up going like, this is fine, this is fine, this is fine. This is what you do, this is what you do, this is how you wash your body, this is how you wear clothes, this is how you put fabric softener on everything. Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, this is what I do, this is what I do.
I mean,
if it's bad for you, why would they sell it? Well, because it's got more benefit than the badness, I guess, or no one's ironed it out that it's really bad for you, or that if you put enough of it in a pile, it's bad. Like, yeah.
And we keep learning stuff, and it's like, well, I know that we are adjusting to what we're learning. It's just... the learning curve has to beat sales. you know what I mean?
Like, well, I think it goes back to like the sort of whistleblower kind of watchdog element of society that has sort of been lost. Like the fourth party of government was supposed to be journalism, right? But then once they started making profits, they would sell out to whoever would give them the most money. So then you lose that protection. Like that's not there anymore. Now you can't trust that. Like you always want somebody to be checking this stuff out that's smarter than you,
right?
Like I want someone to check out my soap and be like, "Is this fine? Can I use this?" But like, who is there? Like, there's no one there anymore.
Andy Rooney's gone.
Fucking Andy Rooney! God damn! If only we had Andy Rooney.
But that's the thing. Your soap,
yeah. So that's the thing. It's like I don't know. I mean, I feel lost. Like I don't know what to do. And I also sort of don't give a shit because why worry about it constantly? I would rather just like take a shower and use soap and
I understand the why worry about it in the same way that I'm not really paying my student loans right now. You know, it's like, why do I need this extra stress? Let the debt build. It's fine. You know, like why do I need to fight everything?
It's funny. I mean, like, I really do feel like society is going to crumble in my lifetime. And that's why it's like fine for you to not pay your student loans. Also because there's always going to be some socialist campaign guy who is just going to eliminate all student loans.
Government subsidized that this will never go away. You know, loans to companies that they'll go away, but not fucking the government. So I'll pay it one day. Side note, there are 59 commercially operating nuclear power plants. With 97 nuclear reactors in 29 U.S. states.
But those are operating. Those aren't like research facilities.
Yeah. No. That's right. Nuclear power plants are actually making energy.
Yeah. I mean, when it's not melting down, it is cleaner than most. It's cleaner than coal. But you know what's
coal's
pretty clean is
back.
Those sun, We're winning sun the war sucking on coal. Things. Those windy machines that react to the wind going past. Those seem to work.
Yeah, can't but they just kill so many birds.
Oh my God, really?
That's the antagonist viewpoint.
Right.
They kill birds.
And the solar panels bake birds. The birds.
Ugh. No, fucking, you know how many birds coal fucking plants kill, right, like way right more than a fucking yeah spinning blade. God, you know, that's just
many,
so dumb.
How many birds old people kill from feeding them and then dying, and then nobody's feeding the birds anymore?
True.
So let's get rid of old people. Like, I, you could, like, make any.
Yeah, let's preserve the environment for human life.
Let's do Logan's Run. First. Let's kill everyone that's 60.
33?
Yeah,
no, I want to do 60 up because I'm already past 33.
Yeah.
But once I'm 60, I'm ready, man. Take me away.
Join, yeah.
All right, let's. Should we just stop this?
Stop, I mean, the madness.
That's a bad.
Yeah, we've, I mean,
that's
a bad. Done that's our, a bad. Our closing thoughts, basically, right? You know how we all
we've
feel.
We've just been ranting. Should we just throw in the towel?
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean.
What's the takeaway? What is there any optimistic takeaway? Is there anything like, you know, go buy a spork? I mean, you're not changing the world, but if you feel better about your day-to-day life, that's good for you because only you can make yourself happy.
You can't just, I don't know.
Well, the whole thing is think locally or act, think globally, act locally. Right.
Right.
So
right,
that's what
yeah
you're doing. You bought a metal spork.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why I like sci-fi for that reason.
That's why you like what?
Sci-fi.
Like, sci-fi.
Think globally, stretching that further into the universe,
right,
locally.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, don't make fun of somebody for having a metal spork.
Right.
Yeah, that,
they wouldn't
a,
do that in Star Trek.
Too. Like what? We
spork shame.
We still naturally just, like, I know that for years bullying has been bad, but we still bully everybody.
Right. Anything
what,
you don't understand,
that?
You bully.
What are you doing with the metal spork? What yeah are you doing? How come you don't use a fork like me,
right,
you piece of shit?
And then the argument, it's not an argument, but the comment is, someone who's so enlightened that they go, you really think you're making a difference? It's like, no, but I have a spork and I'm not using
yeah
a plastic one.
But I know you're not.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I can't, I'm not going to really, go tell
really,
you to do something.
I really hate that point of view where it's like, why bother? You're not really doing anything. It's like, well, I don't know. Kill yourself then.
I know. Right. I know. Then I'm like, right, let me find out what your position is. Do you really think you're directing? Because everyone's kind of got knows what they're doing already, right? Are you the director?
Right.
Like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's weird. You know, you don't also don't want to be argumentative and you want to have fun with everyone for the rest of your life. But you find out everyone's kind of a weird fucking older brother.
I think everybody is the smartest person they know.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And they are very willing to let you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I don't know, get some humility. Like, understand that you suck.
And the only way that they can give up a little bit of that power is on their deathbed. Was like, I might have been wrong.
No, I'm telling them right now, give it up, man.
Yeah.
You're not that smart. You're
I'm sorry
stupid. Most of your opinions are incorrect. Yeah. Myself included.
Like, I know I'm smart because I always talk about how dumb I am.
There you go. You're the smartest dummy.
You just beat it, man.
I don't know. I mean, you know, yeah. I want to close up, but basically, I think we know that there's nukes in the ocean. We know in the oceans. We know we have secret nukes all over. We know we have nuclear facilities in our neighborhoods.
Hang on. We know that there's nukes in the oceans.
Oh, and we got submarines and
there's
aircraft
nuclear
carriers.
Submarines.
Oh,
nuclear powered submarines.
Oh, I thought you meant like underground bases.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
That's wild. There's a machine underwater, a bunch of them,
yeah,
that runs on nuclear energy. Like, when, how do you maintain that?
But
when is
also,
that going to break?
Also, what? they're like holding nuclear missiles ready to defend us.
Right,
right.
And so
but those are great because when they go down, they're going to kill all those like giant fucking sea monsters that we don't know about.
I just hope they float so we can.
I love how
them
every sci-fi movie is like, let's try the nukes. And the nukes didn't work. That's what we got. That's the one thing that kills
when they're
everything
shooting at like Godzilla or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Godzilla, he thrives on nukes. Oh no,
yeah. Grew bigger.
But I also believe that we have nukes in space that they haven't told us about. Why would we not have nukes in space? Why do you need to launch it from the ground? You can launch
so
it from space.
So you should have opened with that.
Well, yeah. I'm just, but like that's nothing that there's
that's
nothing
a very weird ending thought.
But I'm just saying
yeah,
that's
the sci-fi
right
thing we could have been talking about.
Yeah, like are there nukes in space? And what's the advantage?
Dude, there was a giant missile launch yesterday that had like 24 satellites on it or something. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, whatever. They're not telling us what they're putting in space. Why would they? They don't have to.
Right.
And so I'm just saying that like we have all of these entities that are now more important than any individual human.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We're on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. You're the one guy that doesn't need to know, but I know it. Oh, whatever. All I'm saying is that we can't. It's too late to overthrow the government.
Yeah, let them have it. I don't give a shit. Let them kill us all off. Then they can go play their fucking dumb war games. I don't give a shit.
But we how do we get from...
Just eat a cheeseburger.
From
But you can't get a straw unless you ask.
That sounds good. That sounds pretty good, my friend.
Although I've been to two restaurants here in L.A. that just handed me straws without asking. Now, should I narc on them? Should I call some 800 number? Go.
I don't know if they've actually been outlawed here. I think it's more of a like
ideological. You can choose to. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But ultimately, though, we've created these entities that are supposed to protect us. We have these corporations that we think have us in their future. Like, well, how can you make money if we're all dead? Whatever.
But, banks, man, interest.
I'm like, we just need to get. I like where we are. I think that America's got has a great potential,
mm-hmm.
but we're kind of getting more stupid. And so I my only thing is like sharing fucking stupid things like this and trying to educate yourself more. I think that's the only thing we can do, because when you educate yourself more, you know, it's not just, you see the facade of, yeah, what we were talking about earlier, Republicans versus Democrats. It's like, no, 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 you can do something about it, but we all have to agree. And so the more we disagree, the less anything will get done. Mm-hmm. So after all of this stuff, I'm just, my only solution is, you know what, just listen a little bit. Just listen a little bit more.
Sounds good.
I think nihilism is the answer. I say give up all hope. Do whatever you want. Shoplift. Punch a cop. You know, do whatever you can. Live your life, because you're going to die in some weird apocalypse. So have some stories.
That's weird, because like, why not start the apocalypse now instead of reacting to it happening?
Well, I don't want the apocalypse to happen. I mean, you would have to react to an apocalypse. You can't start the apocalypse.
No. I'm saying in your mind, why not pretend like it's happening now and just go take over what, you know, like...
Well... I mean, you don't want to have victims. Like, you don't want to start looting. You're hurting a business at that point. Like, I'm just saying, it's not going to matter. Live your life. Think positively. And then once it all goes down, like, fucking, man, get a bunch of dogs. Run around the city.
You need to amass crazy friends.
What would your name be? Dogman?
Nah,
like
the Wolf Pound, baby.
The Wolf Pound.
I'm the Wolf Pound.
All right.
And do you do a weird fist bump? Pound that shit, dog. With
the
dog?
If you were in a movie, though, you'd be Dogman, because it's always the simplest name. Nah. The simplest possible name. Hey, it's Dogman.
All right.
Dogman, where's the water?
Do you want to is it still what do I Willy think?
I don't know, new games. Yeah, what do I Willy believe? You ready to play a game?
Sure, yeah.
What do I Willy believe?
It's always this.
I'm going to list off three things,
and then
one of them is false. You need to try to pick which one is false.
I have to pick a false one.
Yeah.
And these are things.
These are what Willy actually believes.
All right. I have to find the false one.
Yeah.
This is going to be tough, I can imagine.
I believe that all nuclear facilities and or, you know, nukes, whatever, are not safe. That's A. B, I believe... aliens are observing our nuclear activity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And see, nuclear energy can affect other realms, including ghosts or different dimensions. Or
this is the easiest one ever.
This is, well...
You didn't even try on this one.
I'm going to go with... The first one was no nuclear stuff is safe, right?
Well, hold on. Let me look at this thing real quick.
I think, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you... Got into a corner there, because the first two, well, I listened to the podcast, so two is definitely true.
Yeah.
Because you've talked about it numerous times. One is sort of common sense, so if you didn't believe it, I would be surprised if you said, no, some of them are safe.
Oh, wait, they all sound true to me. I thought he was saying
they
none
do all
of them
sound true, but C sounds the least true to me.
What was C again?
The ghosts.
Nuclear energy can affect other realms, including ghosts, different dimensions.
But it does sound plausible. If you believe in those other things,
And then A was that no. What was A?
No nuclear facility or nuke is safe.
I mean, you could.
I would say A. I'll answer A. I believe that he thinks that there are some nuclear facilities that are safe.
But I that would shock me. That would shock me because.
Well, maybe he's really good at this. Maybe. But I just think that I'm pretty sure that he's said before that like other dimensions can be affected by nukes.
I mean, I think that's. If there are other dimensions, I think it's possible. But I'm going to go with C as being false. Going with C.
Wade's got it right.
Oh.
I think that a couple nuclear facilities are safe in that, like they'll, you know, the nuclear energy left eventually won't be safe. The waste, but the facilities are okay.
They're well run, well maintained organizations.
Not that many, probably, but.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Todd Bishop, thank you for being here. Do you have anything you want to plug at this time?
Crank Anchors, 20 episodes, I think, starting in September.
Is that still Comedy Central?
Still Comedy Central, and probably online. Share it because they're all, you know, 3 to 5 minutes, very shareable lengths.
Great, Willie.
Nah.
Okay, I will plug. We're going to be in fucking Menominee in September. Come get tickets to that. What's it called? The fucking
Paranomicon.
So check it out. Cool, get tickets. Dude. Please fucking come because I swear to God, no one's going to be there for us and it's going to be very embarrassing.
Here's the cool thing. If you come out for us, you're going to be our hero for reals. Is Wade going to go talk to different ghost hunters? No, he's going to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
real quick inside information. Look up Ernie von Schlaedorn, Menominee Falls, Wisconsin.
Oh, wait, we're not in Menominee Falls, though. Menominee
I know.
Falls,
it's not Menominee Falls.
Is it like 100 miles away? It's kind of a distance.
I honestly don't know, but I think it is a big distance because I didn't know there was an actual Menominee, just Menominee Falls.
But go on.
Ernie von Schlaedorn, just look him up. Maybe you'll be able to talk about him during your show. I don't know.
Do you know him?
I know of him.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. You can subscribe to one of our three tiers. We recommend the Friends of Charles Kwan tier. Is that his name?
Yeah.
If you are a subscriber, stay tuned for Real Life More Sci-Fi coming up next. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening. Ha, 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 ha.